You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Well, greetings, everybody. It is a weekend here in Austin, Texas. How are you guys doing? You good? Everybody happy? Everybody glad? Hello. Everybody else from other communities, welcome. We're glad you're here. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We have volunteers coming down each location's respective aisles with Bibles in hands and get them up. We don't mind. We love doing this, actually. We love giving away Bibles, so feel free to take one and keep if you want, or leave it on your seat when you're done, and we'll pick it up. And why don't you find Mark chapter 4, Mark the fourth chapter. And while you're doing that, let me make a couple of quick announcements. I'm going to spend a moment or two on this, and I promise I'll not go longer because of what I'm saying right now, but I want to make a couple of cool things I get to share with you guys. The first is, and I'm sure your respective community pastors have already talked about this, serve our cities in a couple of weeks. If you do not know, the fifth Sunday of each month, when it happens four or five times a year, we cancel our services, but we don't cancel being the church. And we go serve our ministry partners, of which we have, I think, close to 50 in the city of Austin. We pick a few of those based on our communities, and we send volunteers to do things that they need done. It's really an amazing time. And I want to really... But if you consider ACF your home, encourage you to go online like today and sign up for that. Ministry partners don't just depend on our resources financially. They depend on the resources that are us to go and serve families, to meet needs, to stock food pantries, to paint walls, to do whatever it is they need us to do. And it's really a great time to bless the city. Other churches are doing it as well, certainly not original to us. And I just want to, I know it's easy just to say that's my weekend off or that's awkward. I don't like to go meet people and have to be thrown into a serving setting. I don't know how to do it. It's hard to sign up online, all those things. I understand all that. It is so worth it. And it's so important. And it's who we are. So I really hope you'll take that seriously and get out on that Sunday. Go sign up. Get your small group to go with you. Y'all go serve together. I was with my friend John Burke a couple weeks ago. John Burke is the pastor of Gateway Church here in Austin. John and another guy and I are in a small group together, have been together for years. John had on a shirt that I really thought was cool, and it's so John-esque. The shirt had down here on his gut, your comfort zone. It said your comfort zone, and up here it said greatness. And the point is, greatness is way outside and above and beyond your comfort zone. And that's true in the kingdom. It's really true in the kingdom that we can never become what God intends us to do as long as we live in our comfort zones. And I know for some of you, going to serve in some place with people you don't know is so far beyond your comfort zone, it drives you crazy. That's the point. So please go online, sign up for this. It's worth the time. Second thing I want to share, and you're still finding Mark chapter 8. I know it Mark chapter 4, although it doesn't take this long to find a Mark 4. I'm gonna share something with you I'm really excited about. Beginning the 1st of August, I think it's the 4th and 5th, I'm going to make a fundamental change the way I deliver messages to you guys. It is the fruit of the run I did during spring break in March and April, our fast, where I did some spontaneous, I just came in and listened to God and share whatever God gave me, and I preached a different message each service for like 6 or 7 weeks. Coming out of that, I have felt led to do some preparation, but I'm going to begin delivering a different message at every weekend service by design instead of the same message all weekend starting the 4th and 5th of August. Hold your applause. I hadn't done it yet. It may be death by message before it's all over. I really feel compelled to put out for you guys more content than I'm able to do. I also like the sense of desperation. One of our elders says, you know, will we do everything else by faith? We've got to preach by faith. And so while I'll plan my topics, like I know the first week or so in August, we're going to be in the book of Malachi, I'm not going to have a lot of time. I can't write three messages in a weekend, for a weekend. So I'm going to have to kind of come in and let the Lord churn me up over what I've studied. But I plan to like teach on Saturday night a message everybody will get on the communities, and the Saturday night crowd will get the two other messages on Sunday morning, or one of the messages if I'm out at the community. They'll all be online, either video or audio, so you can go read along, listen along, follow along, and hopefully we'll get a whole lot. I can cover three times the number of topics in a year doing this. And again, I may wake up in November and be totally fetal and exhausted and say, this is not working. But I got a hint, I got a hunch this is going to be really good for us, good for me, and give us a chance to kind of go together a little deeper. So that's coming. I'll be saying more about it. You'll be getting a letter about it. I want you to know where their website is, ACF, our media section, because all the message will be there. We're going to build a wonderful video library, audio library for this. I hope you'll use it and take advantage of it. And we'll see what happens, okay? So yippee-ki-yay. All right. Let me pray. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the time. I ask in Jesus' name now and the time that I have left that you anoint me and teach through me and teach us about what it means to bear fruit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 4, we're finishing up next week this series on soil. I've been talking about parables all summer, kingdom snapshots, and I had the wonderful assignment this weekend of talking about this thing we've been building to the whole time. If you're new to ACF, go back and listen. Since the 1st of June, I've been stuck in the dirt, literally, talking about these soils and this parable. And it's the first parable Jesus gave us to kind of explain the rest of what he was doing. Let me just read it for you, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It will be familiar to most of you, new to some of you. But here's what he said, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in the boat on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And as he was teaching them many things in parables, in his teaching, he said to them, by the way, a parable means something put alongside something else. Remember, Jesus gave us parables to give us insight, give us his perspective on things we saw as normal. Jesus has a whole different take on normal than we do. And the parables were given as lenses through which we were to look at life and go, oh, that's what that is. As he was teaching, he said these things in parables. Listen, he said. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, the soil we discussed last week. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell onto good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. Again, I want to encourage you, if you're new to ACF or been out this summer, go online and dig deep with us on these first three types of soils. They're fascinating. So Jesus is asked by his disciples, what in the world are you talking about? So he gives them kind of a, what I call a legend. You know how a map will have a legend at the bottom of it and tell you what the symbols represent and where the distances are. He kind of gives them a legend for his parables. And I forgot to do this. We got kids in the room this weekend, all of our rooms. Welcome, guys. I'm glad you're here. I so love Family Worship Weekend because I love seeing families worship together, and I love you guys. You are the future pastors, deacons, small group leaders, staff members, leaders of our churches. And we're just thrilled to have you in the room with us. So thanks for being here. I know you didn't have any choice, but thanks for being here. His disciples come and say, what do you, help us understand. So he says, let me give you a legend. And he tells them what each of the soils represents. The one we covered today is verse 20. It's the one that is what should be normal. And I think in verse 20 is a promise that as we do our job, this will happen. Verse 20 says, okay, let me tell you what this good soil is. Those who are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it. Accept it. They hear it, they accept it, and they bear fruit. They hear it, they accept it, they bear fruit. 1, 2, 3. They hear, they accept, they bear fruit. And then he says the fruit production can be off the charts. One grain, one kernel can produce 30 of its kind or 100 of its kind. That's amazing. Remember that the difference is not the seed that fell on the soil. It's the same seed. It'd be like taking a bluebonnet seed or figs or whatever and potatoes or throwing them in the ground And some ground produces what you threw in and some ground doesn't. The difference was in the nature of the soil. The soil, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, represents our heart, our emotions, the seat of our decision-making, how we respond to the Word of God. It is, the seed is good, but the soil determines the effectiveness of the seed. And so Jesus has been describing these types of seeds. They can represent different types of people. They can represent stages of the same person's heart. You want to be soft soil, but there's been times in my life I know my soil has not been so soft. So the difference is the condition of the heart. This last one grain yields abundance because the soil's good. The soil is plied up. The soil is plowable, pliable, teachable, well-conditioned, well-watered, soft. It's not a heart that's been tread on and mistreated or been through a bunch of terrible things and closed off to God. It's a heart that's very, very open to God. So what I've been kind of thinking about this week is, what is that fruit? And it tells us here. What is that harvest that comes? That one grain yields 30 more. It's really simple. And I'm so glad that we have our young people in the room to hear this with me right now. That if you plant a blue bonnet, what do you expect to come out? It's not a trick question. The answer is not Jesus, okay? It's not a trick question. Not a Sunday school question. Looks like a squirrel, but I'm going to go with Jesus. It's not that, okay? If you plant a blue bonnet, what do you expect to get back? Okay. You put an apple seed in the ground, what do you expect to get back? Apple tree, okay. You put the gospel in somebody's heart, what comes out? The gospel. The whole nature of the Christian process of following Jesus and the preconditioning of that seed is to yield reproduction. The one heart gripped by the gospel, the good news that God sent his son to die for sinners like us. When that seed connects with good soil, it produces into lives the gospel, that it's not content to keep this to itself. That this heart wants to plant that same seed in other hearts. So the fruit that comes out of one good seed in one piece of good soil is many, many other people learning and hearing and knowing about Jesus. That's the fruit Jesus is looking for. Now, there's other fruit. I'll be real clear about this. There's fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is listed in Galatians 5. When the Holy Spirit gets planted in you, you expect the Holy Spirit to come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. John 15 talks about fruit and vines and branches and the fruit of good works, Ephesians 2:10. There's lots of fruit. The fruit of the gospel is the gospel. The fruit of the good news is the good news. The fruit of the truth of Jesus is the truth of Jesus in other people's life. Let's not overcomplicate this, friends. That's all it is. If I'm good soil and the gospel's in me, I'm going to put the gospel in other people. That's all it is. So Jesus says, you can know this thing has taken off when what comes out of this life is this blessing and this investment in the lives of others in regards to the gospel. We've got people doing missions all over our mission locations this summer. That's the fruit of the gospel. It's real simple. So it's not the seed of the Word of God goes in me and I hide it and protect it and keep it to myself. The seed of the Word of God goes in me and I got a good soft soil. Friends, it's going to come out and it's going to go into people all around because I can't hold it in. One of the verses I pray for myself every Saturday and Sunday is from Jeremiah chapter 20, that the Word of God will be like a fire in me and I will be unable to keep it in. That's much, even if I try to keep it in, I couldn't be able to. That's what good fruit in good soil looks like. And so this is Jesus telling us that when you've got a soft heart and the seed of the Word of God is in you, friends, it's going to come out and you're going to want to invest it in others. You can't not. Now, I hope that makes sense to you. Because if you think of the last things Jesus said to us, it had this commissioning, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Acts 1, 7 and 8, this kind of sense of, I want you to go and reproduce. The same kind of blessing God gave Adam and Eve, same kind of blessing and commandment God gave Noah after the flood. Jesus reproduces that and says, now the reproduction isn't just physical, it's spiritual. Go make little disciples. Plant the seed of the gospel in them. So friends, in our Christ following is this sense of go and plant and reap a harvest. Reap a harvest of souls. One of the things, next week I'm going to wrap up this talk just on soils. We won't end the series on parables, but I'll stop talking about dirt next weekend. I'm going to do kind of a review of the things we've learned, the high-level lessons of the lessons from the soils. And one of the really great takeaways from this is, if we just will plant the gospel and pray for hearts, there's going to be, there because of the nature of the Word of God, there will always be harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. There's never going to be a shortage of harvest. Look around. The problem is with laborers. There's always going to be people that are hungry. There's always going to be soil ready for the gospel, ready to take off. And it ought to yield much more than just 1-to-1. It ought to yield 1-to-50, 60, 70, 80. It ought to be that kind of impact. That's what we're here for. That's why the church exists. It's why we do missions. It's why we take half of the resources you share with us and invest them in other churches and other ministries here in Austin and around the world. Because that's, in fact, let me talk about that. Let me give you a few ways that you can be taking the gospel that's in you and planting it in others. Okay, this is not going to be on the screen, not in the notes, but I just was thinking about this afternoon. Let me give you three or four ways you can be a seed planter in the lives of others that might yield all kinds of fruit. You ready? Here's the first one. It's not shocker on this one. Pray for them. I got a list, many of you do too, of names of people who are not yet followers of Jesus. And their soils are all over the map. Some have really, really hard hearts and the gospel is going to bounce off. They're not ready yet, to really, really soft soil, and they're right on the line of becoming Christians. And 2, 3, 4 times a week as I pray through my prayer list, their names come up and I start, Lord, come on, in Jesus' name, grab their hearts. And you are very effectively planting the seed of the gospel in people when you pray for them. I hope you'll do that. You can pray for world leaders. You can pray for people around the world that you don't even know that you want to see the gospel in. I hope you'll do that. Second way you can do it is by simply talking to them. This is one of the most effective ways, especially when you're in a relationship with somebody. Just let people know who you are and why you're like the way you are. You have a relationship with Jesus. You're a follower of Christ. And don't be afraid over a cup of coffee or over dinner or over the course of months as you are neighbors with somebody or friends with somebody to just engage them about, let me tell you what my faith is and what it teaches these days. And how I can, let me tell you, this is who I was, this is what happened to me, and now this is who I am. Just have conversation. It's not weird. People talk about all kinds of things out there, friends. We can talk about Jesus. So just have a conversation. It's just as natural. That's putting the seed in soil. A third way you can invest in people is by serving them. We're going to do this in a few weeks and serve our city. You can do it for neighbors and for people you care about just by meeting their needs. Jesus said, when you give a cup of water in my name, it's like you're doing it to me. You're investing the gospel in them. One other way is really critical. Invite them in. Invite them into your home for dinner. Around your table, talk to them about life. Invite them into your small group. As you have a small group at your house, or you're going to take them with you. Say, I got a bunch of Christian friends, and yeah, we're weird, but not any weirder than anybody else. Why don't you come join us? I've seen you, what you do, you're weird, so why don't you come with us? You'll fit right in. Invite them to church with you. Invite them into God's kingdom. Tell them there's a kingdom ruled by a king. He's really benevolent, and he's looking for new citizens all the time, and he wants you. Friends, that's a message God will honor. So if we're going to be seeds that bear fruit, then when you put the gospel in somebody, the gospel is going to come out. We've got to be about spiritual reproduction. The inviting of people to embrace the gospel, have that seed planted in them, and then they become also spiritual reproducers as well. It goes on and on and on. Now, let me give you some examples. I want to just have some fun for a few minutes and tell you some stories that I think will encourage you. The first is from the Bible. It's John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well, kind of a disreputable woman in town. She meets Jesus, or Jesus meets her, better, and she quickly discerns that he is, in fact, the Messiah she had been told was coming. And what does she do? She runs back into her town and tells all the people in the town, I've met the Messiah. This is instant fruit. I mean, she was soft soil. She was desperate, and she was hungry, and she was broken. Jesus invests his life in her, and she goes back to her town and says, look what I found. And in John chapter 4, Jesus says, look at the fields. They're ready. Well, what a lot of guys either make up or think was going on was out from that town were coming the people Jesus, this woman had told, and there came the town saying, we want to know who Jesus is. That's what this looks like, is that you get this inside of you. You've just got to go talk to people about it and say, this is so good. And that's what fruit bearing, producing more fruit looks like. Another story is a guy named Trey Burton, who last season was a tight end with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he and a guy named Chase Daniel, who played behind Drew Brees for a while in New Orleans, was a quarterback at Missouri in the Big 12 a few years ago, back in the day. Chase is the team pastor for Philadelphia Eagles, the team pastor. He's also backup quarterback. And this guy, Trey Burton, is a tight end. Trey has baptized, in the last 2 years, 5 of his teammates. He leads a Bible study, and he's become like an evangelist on the team. And he's just doing what good soil does. So as he's just being there in that locker room, we're brothers, we play football together setting, he's just being who he is, talking about his Savior. And what he's found on that football team is some soft soil. So he's putting the seeds of the gospel in there, and so they're having this little mini outbreak of faith on the Philadelphia Eagles, of all places, in the NFL, with a bunch of hardened football players, because one little seed just took off. Or a guy that I met this week named Ken. I was on the River Place Trail trying to train and work on my knee and get in shape for mountains, etc. And, you know, it's hot, and on my trip down, I passed a guy with a big backpack and his trekking poles, and I thought, this guy's training for something. And on the way back up, I saw him again, and I said, dude, also because I was dying, I wanted to stop, have an excuse to stop and breathe, so I struck up a conversation. I said, what are you training for? He said, Nepal. And I said, really? Why? And he didn't know who I am. I'm a stranger. I said, why are you going to Nepal? And he got real animated. Missions. He said, I go to Gateway Church. And I interrupted him. I said, you know, if John Burke ever becomes a Christian, that's going to be a really great church. I said that. He got like confused. And I was like, never mind. I said, I'm a friend of John's. He said, yeah. He said, they're called unreached people for a reason. This group of people we go to serve is way up in Nepal, and we have to train just to get to them. And this guy's got a job. This guy's got a family. This guy's got things going on. But every year he spends his money, takes his vacation time, and takes a group of people from Gateway Church to Nepal, spends however many days it takes hiking up to the high altitude where these people live to plant the seed of the gospel in them. I was fascinated by it. I was like, why, tell me why you do this. And he said, why wouldn't I? I got a command to go in my life just like you do. They need the gospel. Why wouldn't I go? Friends, that's a seed bearing 100-fold right there. That's what it looks like. You know, you don't have to go to seminary, you don't have to quit your job, but it just kind of, once this thing takes, it kind of just preoccupies you so that you find yourself writing checks you never would have written, or getting on planes and flying halfway around the world, or just walking across the street to talk to a shut-in or across the hall to talk to somebody at a locker at school, because suddenly it's in you and you just can't keep it out. That's what good seed and good soil do. They just come out with the gospel. All right, these will be on the screen. Here are three ingredients, if you will, or requirements of good soil. Because if you want to have the kind of soil, this is all about your heart. If you want to have the kind of soil that produces 60, 30, 100 fold, then this must be, and I'm so glad the kids are here. Kids, I want you to get this. This must be true of you. And Jesus has already told us what it is. The first is you got to hear the word. It's hearing. It doesn't mean that you hear an audible sound. It means that you listen. You open your brain and you like, when Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. He's not saying, I hope you can hear my voice. He's saying, I need you to pay attention and process with your brains and your heart what it is that I'm saying. So the first is just paying attention to the message that there's a God in heaven. He loves us passionately. We are separated from him because of sin. And in response to that, he has inserted his son into the world to set sinners free. And died on the cross for sins so that anyone who believes in him can have eternal life. That's you have to kind of process, okay, that's a lot. Let me process that. The second thing then is receiving it. That's where faith comes in. It's I hear this. I believe this. I want to assert that I confess that I believe is true. It's still faith. But I've not just heard this message. Now I really want you to know, God, that I agree with this message. There's a third piece that Jesus mentioned, and it's the part that many of us, we are okay listening, hearing. We are okay receiving, catching. It's a great news. But this third step, friends, is really, really critical. It's the bearing fruit stage. It's obeying. Romans 1:5, it's one of our theme verses here at ACF, says we are trying to take the gospel to the nations so that they can obey it. The gospel is not just something, friends, that you believe. It is something you respond to with obedience. Kids, I need you to hear that. Obedience is not a bad thing. Obedience is a really, really good thing. God honors obedience. John 12:26, God honors obedience. One of my mantras, God honors obedience. When your soil is good and the seed is planted in you, with that seed is going to come that you're going to feel like the guy Ken I met on the trail this week. There's going to be an innate sense of go. Not necessarily to Nepal, but that my life now is yours, Lord Jesus, and I got to go wherever you want me to go. When you get soil that is ready to hear, ready to receive, and then ready to act on whatever God plants, folks, that's good soil. That's the kind of soil that changes lives. That's the kind of soil that changes families. That's the kind of soil that changes generations. That's the kind of soil, by the way, in our respective ACF communities, that so many of you have. At each one of our communities, I know stories of people there that have been just transformed by the seed, and now they're yielding that hundredfold. Their fruit and the life impact is off the charts. And that's what's so stimulating about watching you guys grow in the Gospels, because I see you never just grow on your own. Suddenly I see all around you things sprouting up as you're planting. And now your impact is becoming not just generational, but multi-generational. It's moving out. It's reaching families. It's reaching neighborhoods. I see your impact. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That once the seed goes in good soil, you can't stop it. It spreads. And that's who we want to be. So let me give you one more example. It's you guys out there, this community can cheer. It's from the Brushy Creek community. Adam Brushy, and it's about my friends, Karen and Tony Colvin. How many of you here at Four Points know Karen and Tony? You guys, let me clap, because the people can't see you raising your hands. Okay, that's good. All right, so most of our communities know, because Tony's been around forever, Karen's been around forever. I met these guys before they were married back in like the late 1990s. We were meeting at a church, at a building, a black office building. It's like the most depressing place to have a church ever in the history of the world. It's like the Bat Cave. It's like having church in the Bat Cave, but it wasn't as cool as the Bat Cave. And we'd have a midweek service, and I'd go down to a place called Tres Amigos and have coffee and tortillas before our midweek service, and I'd just study and pray and get ready for my message. And this little waitress was over there every Wednesday, and she always took care of me, and I'd buy coffee and tortillas and leave her a 25-cent tip, and she's like, this is the biggest loser in the history of the world. It was Karen. Not married to Tony yet. And so Karen and I became friends, and one day she made a passing comment about getting married, and I said, well, I'm a preacher. I can probably help you with that. She said, you're a preacher? I said, yes, I'm a preacher. Don't let my cool facade fool you. I really am a man of God. And so she took the bait and asked me to meet her fiancé, Tony, and we talked, and they asked me to do their wedding. And as we got to know each other, in goes the seed of the gospel. I'm supposed to plant. Well, they got great soil. Neither of them new to Christianity, but kind of coming back to it. And it was just, the soil was soft. They were ready. They come back to Christ. Tony, in fact, is baptized. They jump into our church. They get in a small group. They get married. They invite close friends of them, Stephen and Laura Hatcher out of Brushy Creek. Stephen may be running sound out there today, right now. They embrace Christ, come to faith, and or follow Christ as well. There's now Tony and Karen's reach is starting to spread out. The Hatchers have impact in other people's lives. By the way, they all have kids eventually. Those kids are being raised out of Brushy Creek and love Jesus as well. So now it's multi-generational. Tony's working at Dell and ends up coming on our staff to run our worship arts and our creative arts ministry, and does a wonderful job of that for a while. And then we start talking about, you know, planting these communities. And we were just praying about, Lord, who's the obvious candidate to do our first one, to kind of be the guinea pig? And guess whose name came up? It was Tony's. So now Tony's gone from being a guy working at Dell, about to marry Karen, unchurched. They come to ACF. They bring their friends to ACF. They follow Christ in obedience and begin to minister to people. Now Tony's going to be a pastor. So Tony plants Brushy. Karen is in charge of guest services out there as a volunteer. And at some point, I can't remember in the story, Karen joins our staff as well. And is currently on our staff in our marketing communications area. They take a bunch of original ACFers and go out to Brushy Creek and plant ACF Brushy Creek, the Meet the Y. They're at Twin Lakes. They're there right now. And so now they're pastoring and their reach is even further. By the way, I could tell this story over and over and over again, just change the names. Every one of you in the rooms right now watching me, there are some of you with the same story. Tony taps Jake on the shoulder. They plant Round Rock. Round Rock's about to plant Hutto. It's just, you see the reproduction going on here. Tony has his ministry now that's multifaceted. Tony is also our key player in Haiti, with the pastors in Onaville. So Tony is leading pastors in another country now, investing in them. Friends, I could go on. All that is seed in good soil. That's what happens when the seed of Jesus, the gospel, gets in a heart that is hungry and thirsty. It redirects everything for the kingdom of God. And that's just one story. And not every story has you leaving your job and coming to work for the church. Most of the stories don't have that. But it does have this fundamental shift to, wow, I've been ambushed by the coolest thing. We've seen high school students, middle school students, who, when they get baptized, when they find Christ, their whole countenance changes. And to change the countenance of a 13-year-old is a big deal, right? their whole countenance and lifestyle, and they're like, they just want to bring all their friends to know this love they discovered. That's seed in soil that yields fruit. That's what it looks like. So what I want to ask you to wrestle with is, what's, if I'm looking at my life, you know, I got to look at Will Davis and go, where do I see the fruit in life, in other lives? I'm not just the fruit of God's Spirit. I'm loving and joyful, peace. No, I'm not talking about that. Where do I see the fruit of Will Davis in the lives of others? Because that's really the test that Jesus is looking for. Because remember, Jesus gave himself away for others. Jesus was all about others, Philippians 2. One-word mission statement, others for Jesus. So if the gospel's in me, can I look out horizontally in all four directions, north, south, east, and west, and see lives that the gospel in me has affected? Because that's what fruit looks like. And I just want you to do that. I just want you to look at your environment. Look at the places you hang, the people you bump into. Can you see fruit in them? Because what's really thrilling is you may plant the seed in somebody. They may become a Tony and Karen Colvin who just take off and change multiple generations now. Now on multiple continents. Friends, that's fruit. And Jesus said, when you get the right seed, the gospel, with the right soil, your hearts that are soft, you'll see this yield that changes generations. Folks, does anybody want that besides me? That's what we're here for, okay?